All right, now, I'm going to read here, starting at verse 13. I'm going to skip, so just bear with me. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, we have that amplified, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now I'd like to read some of that same scripture out of the Amplified Translation. In verse 13, for the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. So he's talking here about inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. So that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor. To make it, glory to God, valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. So it's going to be by faith, by an act of grace, so that God can make sure it gets to everybody. Then he says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, glory to God, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which what? Be not as though they were. All right, let's see, can we work with this here a little bit? Because this is something. So hang on, praise God. Now, we left off last time talking about time, T-I-M-E. And we talked about the fact that we have been so designed that we can govern time. And the way that time is governed is by faith, because time is a law, but it is a creation of God, and God placed time in the earth. If you look here at Psalm chapter 8, and we went over this before, but I want to show you this again. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the what? Angels. And hast crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Thou hast made it him to have dominion over the what? Works of thy hands. Thou hast put how many things? All things on his feet. So all things includes time. So time was a created thing placed in the earth, and God placed mankind over time. All right? Now, God has no time, as we know time. And we found that over in 2 Peter, just put it up on the board, please, as fast as you can. 2 Peter chapter 3, and looking at verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. Now understand that with God there is no time. So 1,000 years to God is like one day. Or one day is like 1,000 years. Now think about it, because now we're going to have to play with your mind just a little bit here. Because I'm going to have to get you to understand time. But you can't understand time from time. You can only understand time from a higher level. So from the eternal. So I've got to get you up there with God so that you can understand time. Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look what it says here in verse 5. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath what? Raised us up where? Together, and what? Made us what? Sit together where? In heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. When? Now. Remember that God has no time. And for you to see time, you're going to have to see it from where God sits. Because you can't see this revelation if you're in time. All right, go to John. John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Let me know when you get to John chapter 3. In Jesus' name. Verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born what? Again, keep going. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that word born again there, in the original Greek it says born from above. Okay? So unless a person is born from above, they cannot see the kingdom of God. So you and I were born again. And we were born again from the eternal. And the eternal has always been. So we were born again from, we were born from another dimension. Where there is no time. Got it? Now, in this, eternity is in our hearts, but time is in your mind. So now this has a very, I mean, this is very key, folks. When you're talking about operating in the supernatural, this supernatural realm that you're talking about operating in, one of the things that you need to do is you need to understand time. Because time, if you don't understand time, it's hard for you to operate in the supernatural. Because you're going to have to void time. You're going to have to do something with time if you're going to see the supernatural. Supernatural doesn't take place in reasoning. You can't reason the supernatural. You got to let go of reasoning. Reasoning is analytical. Reasoning is linear. Reasoning always puts one step before the other. You know, one step at a time. That's reasoning. But now you got DOS. You got a CD, man. You can just, it'll just start wherever you want it to start. You don't have to wind the tape down to that point. Got it? Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what you're doing in time. You got to wind it down. But not now in the realm that you're in right now, that's in your heart. You don't have to wind it down. I told you to get your mind ready. Didn't I tell you to get your mind ready for this? All right, let me just give you a couple of things about it, because as I talk about it, you'll understand it. One, faith has no respect for time. Faith has no respect for time. Time seeks to subdue everything and everyone to its natural progression. Time seeks to subdue everything and everyone to its natural progression. Time will imprison anyone that will conform to it. Time, you're going to have to wait on time. And it was never intended for you to have to wait on time. Now, when I go in here, one of the things I said is that you and I are supposed to be like Jesus. And what we showed you on John chapter 6 of how Jesus operated in respect to time. And we showed you, and space and matter, by the way, all three of those, you learn to dominate time, space and matter come almost naturally. But you look in here, and John chapter 6, let's go over there again, please. And in John chapter 6, we read here where verse 15, and Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again to a mountain himself alone. And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, that's about 3 or 4 miles out, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship. And they were afraid. And he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So we showed you that last time. Didn't we?
Yes.
So we showed you that Jesus didn't have to wait to get to the other side. The moment he got into the ship was now at the land. I'm talking about from 3 or 4 miles out. I'm talking about one moment you're here and the next moment you're in Gary. All right, let's go further than that. One moment you're here, next moment you're in India. Let's go further than that. One moment you're broke and the next morning you got a lot of money. Come on, one moment you're sick. You got what I'm saying? Now, the only reason the people of God are not operating at that level yet is because, one, they haven't been taught, so their minds haven't been renewed, so the comfort zone for them is time. And the next thing is that you have to get a hold of it by faith. It's a faith thing, because you got to get in faith so you can override time. Say amen to that. And I believe before Jesus comes back again, you're going to see men operating like God. As a matter of fact, that was one of the biggest prophecies that Brother Hagin made. He said before Jesus returned, men are going to be walking like gods. And I believe that. Say amen to that. Well, let me show you over here, if you will, in John chapter 4. Over in John chapter 4. If you come on over to verse 35, here's what he says. "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already with the harvest. For he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is a saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you bestow no labor. Other men labored, now you're entered into their labors. What I'm saying to you is this. He's saying, what you waiting on? Why do you have to wait? The harvest, meaning the manifestation of what I have spoken, is available right now. You don't need to wait any longer to get this. You can get this right now. Say amen to that. So Jesus came to show us how to live totally independent of this world and its system. All right, now I just showed you some things last time, but I wanted you and I challenge you to go look in your Bible and look at some of the other places where they did that. Let's look at some places that are very obvious, or let's look at one or two places and as we begin to renew our minds to this way of operating. Let's go to Luke's Gospel and Luke chapter 5. Let's go there again. That's familiar to you. Let's go over there. Luke chapter 5. The church is as much in heaven as it is on earth. Or even more so. What limits the world should not limit you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say no more boundaries. All right, look at this now. It came to pass, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I won't read all of this. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishing were gone out of them and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he had thrust out a little from land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Watch this. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all what?
Night.
All what?
Night.
All what?
Night.
Night means no light. Means no light. You need light to operate in these principles. Night means no light. And he toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Now, what's wrong with time in here? Time, he was saying it's not time to fish. It's broad daylight. The fish don't come in the net at broad daylight. They can see the net and the schools of fish will run. So we can't do that in the daytime. But time, faith overrides time and tells time to move aside. I'm going to do this anytime. Folks, you know, I was telling them the other day, we were in there talking about planning session and talking about, you know, the faith conference and so forth. I said, you know, it's amazing how our conferences and all that, we kind of got away from some of the supernatural. And we down here in the natural, technological, I'm going to figure it out, movement. And I'm telling you, it's like, you know, how many banners can I get? How many flyers can I get? How many television? How many promos can I do? And so forth. John the Baptist was out there in the middle of nowhere. And the people came to him by the busloads. Say amen to that. I mean, I know they didn't have buses in those days, but I'd like to use that expression for this particular thing. But here is what he said. Just put it up on the board, please. You don't need to turn to this. Just put it up there. Luke chapter 11, put it up there in verse 1. And he says this, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Got it? Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now here he is out in the middle of nowhere. Folks, if you don't think that's a challenge, you go preach. You don't need to preach out in the middle of nowhere. You can just preach somewhere and nobody will come. Do you hear what I'm saying? I remember when I was in Minnesota one time and we were giving out tracts. And I remember I went to this kind of like a Sam's Club and so forth. It had two doors. And one door was on this end, one door was on this end. People came both doors. So I said, I'm going to go down to this end, give out some tracts as people come in. Started giving out tracts. Next thing I know, nobody came in that door. I looked at the other door, everybody going in that door. Wow. So I'm going to go down this door, get some out. Todd giving some idea, all of a sudden nobody came in that door. And then I said, well, let me just stand here a minute because maybe people see me handing out tracts and they're trying to avoid me. I don't know why, but they're trying to avoid. Next thing I know, they're going in there. I stopped. They're still going in there. Them devils were directing them exactly where they wanted them. Because Satan still has a presence in this earth. And those demons are still in the heavenlies trying to pull the strings on people's minds. You try to preach and see who will come. It takes prayer to do anything in this earth. And when you pray, angels will go out and start speaking to people and speaking to their minds. And it's, boy, I think I'll go to church tonight. I pray it all the time. I call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Come on now. You got to pray. Nobody gets saved unless you pray. Before you get them born again here at the altar, they must be birthed in the Spirit. If they're not birthed in the Spirit, nothing will happen here. John the Baptist knew how to pray. Who taught him? The Holy Ghost. Now you follow what I'm saying? So, what did that have to do with? What was I talking about? All right, but anyway. Yeah. All right. So, Luke chapter 5. And what I was talking about is Peter's fish. So now he's going to launch out and let this down his net in the middle of the day. Now, it's not time to do that, but he's doing it. But he's doing it at the word. What word? The word of faith. He's doing faith. He's going to override what time it is, and he's going to catch fish anyway. Amen. So what happened now? Watch this. And verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Watch this. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the what? At the what? At the, say it again. Draught of fishes which they had taken. Now, why was he astonished? Because of the what? All right. He caught all these fish in no time. And that's what got his attention. Because I said, for you to get into the supernatural, you're going to have to do something with time. Supernatural is not in the realm of time. It's out of time. That's why it takes faith to produce it. Boy, this, I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall up here. But I'm going to do it by faith. Now, time like money is to be your servant, not your master. Got it? Now, the enemy will try to keep you from faith because he needs to keep you in time to do what he does. If you ever leave time, you will dominate him. Because Satan is locked in time. All right, let's look at another one. Are y'all with me? Look at Mark chapter 4. Now, make a practical application of this. I mean, think about it, you don't have to wait on your paycheck no more. Amen. Praise God. Something makes whatever's meaningful to you. You don't have to wait anymore on a man. Get married. Okay, all right. Now, maybe that's a little extreme, but let's just look at this. Look at verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over to the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Okay? And they awake him and said to him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? All right. And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea do what? Obey him. How long do you think it took that wind to cease?
Immediately.
Okay. He didn't have to wait on the storm to pass. All right. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Now, I want to show you a truth. I want to go a little bit further and show you a truth. Now, all of this, you know, I know. Got it? I was showing them up in Philadelphia how you can, you know, I was answering questions and some people came up and wanted to be healed. And I showed them I didn't need to get up out of the chair. I just speak to it and showed them that God, there's no distance. See, it's what you believe. See, it's you know, they got oil, hands, handkerchiefs, you know, you name it. It depends on where your belief is. Well, I believe you can speak the word only. If I saw the man tell Jesus, said, hey, Jesus said, you don't need to come to the house, just speak the word only. And there's nothing wrong with coming to the house. But the man's faith was such that Jesus didn't need to leave where he was at. And if he didn't need to leave where he was at, I could just stay in the chair. And so they were getting healed, falling out under the power of God. Ain't nothing special about me other than I got some faith. Amen. I'm not going to limit my faith. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to say if Jesus can do it, I can do it too. Amen. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm trying to cooperate with the plan. Yes. See, you should be further along in your belief this year than you were last year. You should start stretching yourself. Say, wait a minute.
That's right.
All right. How y'all doing? Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Now I'm going a little bit further with the principle. All right. Time seeks to subdue everything and everyone to a natural progression. That's what it seeks to do. It seeks to keep you right where you are so that you got to wait on time to be healed. When I can just lay hands on you, or some believer just lay hands on the sick, or somebody anoint you with oil, whatever have you, and healing is when. Now, don't say 6 months, then come to harvest. The harvest is right now. We can do it right now. Say amen to this. All right, Genesis. In Genesis chapters 22. Now, what I want you to do is start thinking this way. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Because they're not your thoughts, my ways, come on, are not your ways. I want you to start thinking no time. Because we've had some delays because of our thinking. All right. It came to pass after, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled the donkey, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. Wow. Man, I saw something I never seen before here. Wow. Whew. And Abraham took the wood and burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I. My son, here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar or upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven, unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him a burnt offering instead of his son. Question. When did the ram get there? When did he get there? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. I just want to introduce a new concept to you. Whatever God is going to do for you, He has already done it. He is named Jehovah Jireh. That means not the God that provides. That's half the meaning. It means the God who sees and provides. Now, how far into your future do you think God can see? You name it. You name it. He saw you before you hit your mother's womb. Come on now. He saw you in your mother's womb. Say amen to that. He planned all of your members even before, Psalm 139, I think before whatever it was, before the foundation. He planned everything. He saw you. He saw it. A prophet was often called a seer because he could see things. And the reason why he could see it, because it's there. And if you know anything about faith, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You cannot have evidence of something that doesn't exist. You cannot have evidence of something that does not exist. For it, you to have evidence of it, it's got to exist. I said it's got to exist. Even though you don't see it, it's got to exist. So everything in your life that you would need for life and godliness, for you to have a godly life from here to, I guess, eternity, praise God, God has already provided. I know that don't mean nothing to you. It'll mean something to you if you got a need. And it's telling you, you don't need to beg God for it. It's telling you He saw it before you hit the earth. Say amen to that. And He provided it. Yes. Got it?
Yes.
But we said something about it. We said, put it up on the board, please. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Put it up there on the board for me, please. Thank you. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all. See, put it up there in the Amplified, if you will, please. Thank you. Praise God. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends, come on, entirely on faith, that it might be given to you as an act of grace. That car that you need, God provided that car before you ever hit this earth. And it runs. I'm gonna help you. Now, it's already paid for. But in the kingdom, what is the medium of exchange? Faith. If you want the car, you gotta leave some faith. She stood on that word and said that she's not going to pay anything except cash for this washer and this dryer. She's not going to put it on credit. She's not going to give the company's interest and paying all of that. No, no, no. Because that washer and dryer was given to her long before she hit the earth. The only people that don't know that are the people that are locked in time. Y'all follow me? Done. Done. Now you can't fake it till you make it. This is something you got to either have it or you don't. People try to act like they got some faith and get themselves in a pretty bad situation. You're embarrassed because the faith wasn't really there. That's what Bishop Oedipo preached on last time he was here. Is your faith has no proof. It's a fake. So wait till you work your faith up. Are y'all with me? So when did the ram get there? So Abram wasn't waiting on God. God's waiting on Abram to show up. Because the provision is right where God told him to go. Say amen to that. See, he's worked out your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Put on the screen, please. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 in the Amplified. Ephesians chapter, now I got 2 more minutes. Can y'all give me just a couple more minutes here? 2 more minutes. If you got a chicken or something in the oven, just override it with time. Just alabashata. Pray in the Holy Ghost, praise God. All right, look what it says. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated now in Christ Jesus. Watch this, born anew that we might do those good work, keep going, which God has what? Predestined, planned beforehand for us, keep going, taking paths which he prepared, come on, ahead of time, that we should walk, come on, in them, keep going, living the good life. Glory to God, I like that. Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I'm ready for the good life. I don't know about you. And if you follow God's plan, it'll be a good life for you. But you cannot follow his plan except you do it by faith. Say amen to that. Boy, this is good preaching right here. Amen. Oh, he planned it beforehand. You already planned out how well you're going to be. How wealthy you're going to be. Come on now. How good looking you're going to be. Oh, that, who was that? Was that over, what was that? Okay. All right, praise the Lord. All y'all good looking, praise the Lord. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's just read this and just kind of get an idea. Remember what I said now. With God, there is no what?
Time.
There is no time with God. So 1,000 years is like a day. A day is just like 1,000 years because there is no time. So the concept of no time, you got to elevate yourself to see it because you can't see it in time. You got to elevate yourself beyond that so you can look down on it and see what it really is. That's the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek. The Greek deals in dualism. Dualism says, I come to church and I come here and I act real nice. But when I go back out there, I'm gonna do something. You know what I'm saying? It's dualism. See, it says, I'm in church. It doesn't say, the Hebrew says, God, it's built on relationship. God is with me all the time. He's with me all the time. So when I teach the kingdom of God is where? It's in you, see? Wherever you go, the king is there. Wherever you go, the king is there. You just don't stop, and I know this is not you, but you just don't stop cussing because you came in church. Some folks, my point to you is you don't stop acting certain ways just because you're in church building. Because that's dualism. That's the kind of people that never grow. Because their life is not relational with God. It's all a form of godliness. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, it drifts over to your faith life. Dualism cannot ever develop faith. It just doesn't. Because everything is sequential. Everything is coming from a idea of it's not holistic. It's not all one together. People are kind of in their minds, they're kind of saying, wow, what kind of church is this? Because they see a church on one side and a shopping mall, you know. Well, how are y'all going to put a church in a shopping mall? That's sacrilegious. They didn't put a church. No, see, Abraham, his God and his business were one. They never separated, see? That's why he said, you know, in those days you say, go up to this mountain and worship, go up to that mountain and worship. Jesus said, but the time is coming, you're going to worship anywhere. You're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. You're going to worship in a phone booth, bathroom, come on now, closet. You're going to worship. Are you following what I'm just saying? See, people have separated God and so forth like that. And I'm just saying, because of that, that's what you've had. And you've had people that try to separate it. And that's dualism. That's the Greek, for the most part, the Roman Greek thinking. And so what we got to do is get back to the Hebrew. And get back to the Hebrew, and you'll find that the relationship with God and you and God. So when you go home, then you carry the same peace and joy in you as you did when you were in church here. Say amen to that. Does this make sense to you? All right. Now, if you get offended with that, that's your business. Okay. Now, let's just finish this up. I found out I can't satisfy everybody. If you tell the truth, Jesus said this, blessed are they that are not offended in me. And I find that if you tell the truth, there are people who don't like anything you say. And think about this. They didn't pay one dime to get me here. When I was struggling with my family, where were they? Come on, help me now. When I had holes in my shoes, where were they? Come on now. When I was believing God for just somewhere to preach, where were they? And now God has blessed me. Now they want me to take my message and water it down so that I could please them in their ugly face. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give it to you just like God gave it to me. Now, if you don't like it, get out. Okay. All right. Now, I love you. I love you, and I want you to have this. But I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to take it down anymore. I think I'm real kind and real nice. You should have seen me years ago. I'd have told you got a devil right to your faith, and you need to get saved, and you know what I mean? And you're going to hell. I told you, I was preaching hard, Jack. I thought that's what it took, but what it takes is the Holy Ghost. I was trying to do it myself. See, I was young, just didn't know. All right, y'all with me? Ow! Okay, all right. Let's look at this. Now, I am an intelligent man, so just, you know, don't have any doubts about that. And I am saved. Okay. All right. Now, I think under this whole idea of banner of time, I think a tremendous amount of wealth has been stolen from the church because of this whole thing of time. They've been in time. And I think the enemy has used that to delay our contracts coming in and all kinds of things in time, you know, and so forth. Let's read this, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll wrap it up. Verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is one day going to bless you with all spiritual blessings. That's not what it says, is it? It says, who hath what? Blessed you with how many? All spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. Keep going. According as he has what? Chosen us in him when? Before the foundation of the world. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Coming over here to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. It's all right. I mean, I'm a good person. Really, I'm a good person. I don't take much mess, but I'm a good person. Amen. There are certain people that want the truth, though. You know what I mean? And let me tell you something. Folks. The devil has intimidated preachers so that they won't preach what God many times says, and they think that if they preach it, people gonna go and won't come back. Well, suppose you don't preach it and God don't come back. I mean, what then? Folks, the truth will what? It'll make you free, man. Okay, I'm still working on some things. I admit that. You're still working on something too. Now, if you're not still working on something, raise your hand. I'm gonna cast that lying devil out of you. Okay, all right, let's do this. Folks, let me tell you something. You ought to be glad you got a man of God that won't compromise. Watch this. Because when it comes time and the doctor tell you or somebody they got cancer, stage 4, and you come to the man of God and he pray for you and you get healed, you're going to thank God that man of God stood on the word. You're going to thank God for it. Say amen to that. All right, let me finish here. Amen. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Let's just stop right there. He has given us how many things? All things. So faith declares when something will be, and time always submits to it. Faith declares that when something will be, and time always submits to it. All right, now here's what I want you to do with me. I want you to make a confession with me. Now, we're going right now through an examination in the bank, and I need your help. Now, the help that I need is the blessing. The blessing is extremely powerful. And that when you and I speak the blessing, something happens. Now, I'd like you to turn to one scripture and put it on the board, please. It's essential. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. All right, look what it says here. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I just get carried away. I get home and I say, Lord, have mercy. Why didn't I act more like Joel? Okay, but anyway. All right, look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Wow. All right. What does it say with this verse? God is putting before you a choice. Your choice is to either speak life to your situation or to speak death to it. Let me give you a case in point. You can have a situation involving yourself, and you can say what God says and decree that over your life. And the blessing is powerful enough to put an end to any curse. Man. I was going to curse that fly. I was just flying around my head. All right, look what it says here. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 60. Wait, I know you're there. Isaiah chapter 65. Put it up on the board, please, in verse 16. All right, I just want to let you see what this says. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Take that same verse and put it up in the Amplified, please. Look what it says. He who blesses himself, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. Got it? Let's just stop right there. I want you to see that. You can invoke a blessing on yourself by speaking it. Got it? Now, how about invoking a blessing on other people? All right. How about the time in 2 Kings, put that up there, chapter 7 in verse 1. 2 Kings, chapter 7, and verse 1. Okay? Said, and Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. Isn't it interesting? Notice, the man of God invoked a blessing on the nation of Israel. They were starving to death. And let me put it in my own words. Tomorrow about this time, you all going to be rich and it's going to be plenty. Okay. He invoked a blessing. Now watch. This one man that worked for the king didn't believe it. So notice, he chose death. And what happened to him? He died. He got trampled to death when they ran out for the money. My point to you is that choice is left with us. God has made his choice. He wants you to be blessed. But you have to choose. Say amen to that. So I would like for you to invoke a blessing with me on this bank. Now I'm going to let you I'm just going to say this. We've been up against some real spiritual pressures. And I know what they were. They're just the enemy. But I'm not going to give him any credit. If we bless this thing, it's going to be blessed. And I would like you, yes, I know it, but we're going to invoke the blessing tonight. because I've never done that with a congregation. And I'm not going to do it on Sunday. I'm just going to do it with this group here that we got left here. All the believers are still here. Am I right about it? Now, I'm going to tell you, I warred with this because the enemy say, well, now you tell them that and they think you're struggling with this thing and so forth. I don't care what they think. I decided I'm going to have you because one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. So we're going to put a bunch of the demons to flight and we're going to invoke the blessing on this place. Say amen to that. Now, I started thinking about that. You know, we could invoke the blessing on some of the saints that's going through some things. Say amen to that. That's that love for one another we can have. We can invoke that blessing on them, and that blessing is powerful enough to override any curse. I said any curse. They invoke the blessing in Newark, New Jersey, and they were going around speaking the blessing. And in speaking that blessing, glory to God, come on, you better show up. Just a minute. I didn't bring my paper. Okay, but oh my goodness, what did I do with that? Let me have my ring binder, my notebook in my bag. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Mm-hmm. What happened? They began to walk around and invoke the blessing. The Facebook chairman, Zuckerberg, or whatever his name is, has just notified them that he's going to invest $100 million in Newark. Zuckerberg, I think his name is. Also, Panasonic just decided they're going to relocate their headquarters to Newark. This is the same Newark that used to be the murder capital of the country. Watch this. Now going to give him some 800 jobs. Watch this. And $220 million in tax benefits. Watch this. Now just announce a $15 billion expansion for the airport. And also, they just rounded up mob kingmen of about 125 were arrested at the port of New York. So they're rounding up the gangsters. They're blessing the people with jobs only because they invoked the blessing. Man, that's good. All right. So they're going to put it up on the screen. Can you put it up on the screen for me, please? Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, I think you knew I was going to call for this, right? Do you have it or not? If you don't have it, let me know if you don't have it. All right. Do you have it yourself? Oh, you have it yourself. Okay. That is not this. Okay, you have it. Okay, all right. For those of you who have it, I'm not sure what they got back there. For those of you who have it, we're going to say it. Okay. How they could give you one copy and then have something else shown on the screen, I have no idea. Okay. I'm going to invoke the blessing on them, though. I'm going to invoke the blessing on them. All right, you ready? We're going to read it together. One, two, three, read. Father God in heaven, we, the seed of Abraham, humbly come before you to thank you for the honor of establishing your storehouse, Covenant Bank, in the earth. In Deuteronomy 28 and 8, you promise that you will command the blessing upon us in our storehouses and in all that we set our hands unto. We come into agreement with your word, and we now bless Covenant Bank with good success, excellence in banking, and a surplus of capital to exceed regulatory requirements. We bless its board, officers, employees, depositors, shareholders, customers, and the examiners. We bless Covenant Bank with an increase of investors, capital, assets, deposits, branches, and kingdom provision. We bless Covenant Bank with favor with God and man. We bless Covenant Bank with profit, gold, and a rapidly increasing money supply, that we may be a blessing to all the families and nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, can you do something for me, those who have that? For 7 days, once a day, decree that confession. Listen, I see it now. The enemy didn't want us to come together. See, he want every one of us to be isolated in our own little struggles. But folks, we're going to have a night sometime where we're going to have just a list of folks who need the blessing on their life, and just read their names and bless them. Say amen to that. Did y'all get something out of the word tonight? Praise God. Now, wait a minute. Once we invoke that blessing, when did God go to work? Right now. Praise God. And we're just going to reinforce it for 70. Just reinforce. I want you to get it into your Noah. Just reinforce it in there. Folks, it's time for us to take this thing by faith. Praise God. If you hear God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I know we're going running a little late. If you need to get to know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him, please don't leave without him. This is one of the biggest reasons.